Well, we are in our second Sunday of Lent, continuing to journey through this season, approaching in just a short time the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we recognize in this scriptures today that we get some powerful scriptures that we all recognize. That first story of Abraham and now this transfiguration. And I think it's very important for us to recognize that these were actual events. These moments actually happened. The reason I say that is because so often I think we go to church and we could think, yeah, I know it happened. I go to Mass all the time. I hear these stories. But it's 2,000 years ago that we're hearing what happened in this gospel. And the part with the angel and Abraham and all of that with Isaac was like 6,000 years ago. And so it's so far away by space and by time and even location that we can just hear these parts of the Bible, these scripture passages, and go, yeah, it's just another story so far away. But we cannot forget that these events actually happened. Now let me clarify. Because when we say these things actually happened, there are parts of the scripture that might not be historical. Let me explain. And so we have the Bible, and we know it's the inspired Word of God, but the Bible is not just one book. The Bible is a collection of many books written over thousands of years that were put together into one volume. These books were put together in the year 381 by the church, then called it the Bible. So we have many different books, and like going to a library of books or your own bookshelf, there's different books with different genres, and this is important to recognize. So I can go home and look at my bookshelf, and maybe I can pull off the shelf the biography of John F. Kennedy. And I recognize, okay, these events actually happened. He was born in this year, he grew up in this faith, he was Catholic, he eventually became president, he was assassinated. Okay, fact, all of that happened. I can go somewhere else in my bookshelf and go, okay, here's a book about dragons and magic and sorcery. Okay, none of this happened. This is all fake. It's a story that's been made up by somebody. I can grab another book that's somewhere kind of in the middle. An example might be Chronicles of Narnia. So we recognize the story of the Chronicles of Narnia. There was no lion, there was no witch, there was no wardrobe. It's all made up. But the story does illustrate a truth. There's many things in there that points to what is actually real. Right? We know this even in society. We all know the story of the tortoise and the hare. Nobody would ever claim that the tortoise and the hare actually happened. But what they would claim is that there's truth there. That it teaches us to persevere, to be diligent, to maybe take a step back and work slower instead of just trying to push it forward ahead and do things in a sloppy fashion. So made up characters, but a truth. And the reason I say this is because also in the Bible with different books, there's different genres. And so a great example would be Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Do we claim as Catholics that there was a man who physically went into the whale for 3 days and was spewed out by this big fish? And the church says, maybe. God can do anything. Yeah, maybe 5,000 years ago this did happen. We're never going to rule out the possibility of God. But the church says, probably, it's a way to show a deeper reality. There was a man who God called and said, go preach to the Ninevites. He rejected that voice, ran away. Some sort of conversion happens over 3 days, and then he has this conversion and goes and preaches the good news. And then somebody wrote it in a way to illustrate that truth. For instance, the Garden of Eden. Whether it was an apple, a watermelon, or a cheeseburger, it doesn't matter. They were tempted. Whether it was a snake, a cheetah, a dinosaur, or they just heard the voice somewhere in their minds, it does not matter. The detail does not matter. What it's pointing to is a deeper truth. That there was a man and a woman who lived in accord with God's love in this paradise, and they were tempted and rejected that love. That is the point. And so we are Catholics, not what we call fundamentalists. A fundamentalist Christian says anything in the scripture from the beginning to the end literally happened and God meant it literally. We as Catholics don't say that. One last example is even Jesus says things like, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eyes cause you to sin, gouge them out. Now Jesus is what's using hyperbole, an exaggeration to make a point. If we all said, okay, he must have literally meant chop your arms off, gouge out your eyes, we would all be walking around deaf, blind, and having no limbs. Right? And so we recognize that even when Jesus spoke, some things were to illustrate a point, other things were hard and fast truth. And so with these two scriptures, these things actually happened. Everything that Jesus did actually did happen. It is a truth. And now that we know that, we can often hear these scriptures and go, okay, great, it happened 2,000 years ago, it happened 6,000 years ago, but those things don't happen now. No one's seen angels anymore. Nobody's healing the blind or raising people from the dead. It doesn't happen. It's so far away, but that's not true. These things are happening today. There are incredible things happening. We just have to open our eyes to it. Let me give you some examples. There's a great saint by the name Saint Padre Pio, who only died in 1968, which isn't that long ago. He was a priest in Italy, and when he was born, his name was Francesco. And as a young boy, Francesco would actually see with his own eyes his guardian angel. He would see Jesus as a little boy. He would see the Blessed Mother. And growing up, he just thought, I don't know, I guess everyone sees this. And he didn't realize till as he got a little older, when he was speaking to a religious brother, the brother said, little Francesco, I need you to pray for me. I've got some stuff, I need more prayers. Little Francesco said, of course, later tonight when I see my guardian angel and Jesus and Mary, I will tell them you need prayers. And the religious brother said, that's cute. You're going to pray for me, thank you. Talk to your angel. Francesco said, no, like I'm really going to see my angel and Jesus and the Blessed Mother. I will tell them. So he realized, oh my gosh, not everyone else gets to see this. And he grows up, he becomes a priest. For 50 years until the day he died, he had the stigmata. Stigmata is when a person, it's happened very few times in history, actually has the wounds of Jesus Christ. For 50 years, doctors couldn't explain it. He had physical wounds. The nail marks were bleeding. He had to wear gloves. His feet had the physical wounds for 50 years. He had other amazing gifts. He had the line for confession. People waited 16 hours a day. He would hear confessions, and the lines would be out the door. People would travel all around the world to go to confession with him. And he could read souls. So what that meant was he would know what's going on inside of your soul. And if you had forgotten a sin or purposely left one out, he could tell you there's that sin that we need to address. He could read your soul. In fact, he died in 1968. We know people's bodies decay pretty quickly if you don't have blood running through your body. In 2008, they dug him up and opened up the casket, which we often do when someone's becoming a saint. We see if anything miraculous has happened. And when they open up the casket 40 years later, he has his skin. He has his hair. He's what we call incorruptible. His body has not corrupt. I was just there a couple years ago. He's in a glass casket. Looks like he's sleeping. There's St. Padre Pio, 1968. Another great saint is St. Faustina. She died in the late 1800s, like 1890-something. And there's that great image outside of our church. It's the image of Jesus. He's standing there and it says, Jesus, I trust in you. We walk past it every time we walk in church. That comes from her visions. She was a religious sister and she actually had Jesus Christ appear to her. And she wrote a diary and she wrote everything he said down. Every time he appeared, and she would talk about these amazing experiences about seeing Jesus as a grown man, like we see in the picture, as she would see him as like a little baby. She would see the Blessed Mother at Mass. And her big thing was Jesus said, paint this image of me. Tell people that I'm a merciful God. They need to trust in me. Jesus, I trust in you. That wasn't that long ago. In fact, I have a good priest friend. He told me when he was a young priest, he's now been a priest about 25 years now, A family came to him and they wanted anointing of the sick. And the person had a brain tumor. He said, I anointed the guy the day before he went in for the surgery to have the brain tumor removed. And when they went to have it removed the next day, the doctor said it was gone. And they said they couldn't explain where it went. A miracle. Miracles are happening today. God is doing amazing things. In fact, I would bet my life right now, if we just stopped for a second, I said, hey, if we could raise our hand and share a moment that's been miraculous in your life, or where God really showed up or spoke to you, or maybe some place where you've been healed, or you know someone else who's been healed, whether it's a family or a friend, or where God has just really showed up in your life, let's go around the room. We would be here all day. I guarantee that we all have a story, or we know someone who has a story that has changed lives. And there is no doubt in my mind, and even in your mind, that God has spoken to you. You've heard the voice of God, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. God's spoken to you, and He wants to continue to speak. And so one more last example that's small but powerful of where I've seen this, but also then, how do we continue to find God? How do we have these mountain moments where God is transfigured? How do we see these angels? The example is about a year ago. I had a funeral right here in the church for a man. And after the funeral, his daughter emailed me. She's a middle-aged woman. And she gave me her grievances of why she left the church 20 years ago. Her list, her litany of why she left. This, that long email. So I sent her back some answers to some of her questions. And we continued to speak through email, as well as they came to my office, her and her husband. And at one point she said, I don't believe in this one God. I don't believe in any of this stuff in the Catholic Church. I said, great, what do you believe? She says, I believe in many gods. I believe in the God of the sun, the God of the rain, the God of the trees, the God of the ground. I said, great, why do you believe in these many gods? And she said, well, like 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, and I was so nervous about what was going to happen. And she said, so I was walking through the woods one day, and it was a very sunny day, and I remember the sun came through the trees and just hit me, and I felt the warmth of the sun. And she said, when I felt the warmth of the sun, I just felt this peace. And I just knew as I felt the warmth of the sun and this peace that everything would be okay. And she said, the sun gave me that gift. And so, yeah, the God of the sun helped me there. And I said to her, you know, you had a real experience. You did experience something in the woods that day. Yes, you felt real peace. Yes, your anxiety level went down. But it wasn't the sun who did that. I said, the sun can't do anything. The sun can't all of a sudden decide, I'm going to be hotter tomorrow or colder. I'm going to turn off. The sun can't all of a sudden decide, you know, instead of rising in the east and setting in the west, tomorrow I'll rise in the west and set in the east. I said, the sun is an object that can't even move itself. So how can an object that can't move itself move you, a person, with feelings and emotions? I said, no, you had an experience, but it wasn't the sun. It wasn't the created thing. It was the creator. Don't stop there. Go to God. And see, at that moment, she recognized, because I told her, yes, God is everywhere. He was there. And she said, okay, if he's there, I want to find him again. If he gave me that grace, where is God living now? I want that moment back in the woods, and I felt that peace. I said, where is God living now? He's right at Mass. That's where He's most tangible. He actually comes to the altar. I said, where is He now? He's in confession. We can forgive your sins. I said, where is He now in your prayer life, in adoration, where you can actually sit before the very God of the universe and see Him face to face and communicate with Him and receive His life and His love? That's where God is. Yes, He's in the woods. Yes, He's in you. Yes, He's in me. Yes, He's in many places in this world. He lives there too, but He is most tangible here in His church, in prayer, in the sacraments. And she said to me, okay, well, that's what I'll do then. If He's there, I'm going to go there. And so she did. She went back to church. Never missed a Sunday. She went back to confession. She started praying every day diligently. She started praying the rosary every day. She started going to adoration at least once a week, if not twice or more. She said, on the way to adoration, I turn on some holy music and I prepare myself as I go there because I'm about to meet God. So I should prepare my soul. And now, when she speaks to me and we still continue to talk, she has amazing moments where she is seeing God all over the place. He doesn't just live in her life 20 years ago in a forest. No, she sees him everywhere. Her eyes are open. And so God is communicating with each one of us. He's communicating with you. He wants to do incredible things. He wants to show up. And all we have to do is open our eyes. So I would challenge each one of us, myself included, over the next week, try this one thing. At the end of your day, just spend 5 minutes asking one question. Ask the question is, where, God, did I see you today? God, where did I see you today? And if any moment you can say, wow, there's that moment where I don't know, my boss said, you can go home early. I said, thank you, God. Okay. God gave you a little rest. He let you go home and see your family a few minutes early. Or maybe you've been thinking about that person that you had a falling out with, 10 years ago, and you've been thinking about them and you want to see them again, and you're at Walmart, and you're like, oh my gosh, what are the odds of this? I've been thinking about you. That's a coincidence. There is no such thing as coincidence. There is only God's providence. God arranged that. You just walk in randomly. Or God, I woke up today and things were great. Or my kids, I was having a difficult day. My little daughter, who's like 5, said the sweetest thing that just made me feel so loved. Wow, you saw God in your daughter. And so ask yourself the next 7 days, God, where did I see you? And I promise at the end of the week, if you do that every single day, the next week after that, you will see God even more present in your life. Because you will be learning to open your eyes, see Him throughout the day, and then as you move forward to the next week, as you're living, you'll start to see Him as it's actually happening. You'll go, oh my gosh, He's right there. He's right here. He's speaking to that person. He's speaking to that person. Oh my gosh, He's speaking through me to speak to them. Wow. This God is incredible. He is littered in every moment of our lives. And now when you go home tonight and you spend those 5 minutes, are you going to recognize that the greatest moment of your day today was right here at this Mass? When the actual God of the universe left His throne, left the mountain, and descended here upon this altar, turned bread and wine into His very body, blood, soul, and divinity. And in just a moment, you're going to leave the pew. You're going to leave your old self behind. You're going to die to yourself. The incarnate, perfect God of the universe, who is fully alive, is going to go into your body, and you will go back to your pew as a new woman, a new man, a new son or daughter of God. And the incarnate God lives in you. You have been transfigured. Your figure, your body, heart, mind, and soul has been changed. And now God is in you. Whoa, if there's anything greater, if God can communicate in any greater way, oh my gosh, someone tell me. Because if we miss this, if we cannot open our eyes to this reality, we're not going to see Him anywhere else. So when we get home tonight, we walk up to communion now, we recognize this gift. The actual God of the universe is going to live in you. Let's walk down the mountain and see Him everywhere.